This is Canada's Conservative Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Schmale, Member of Parliament for Halliburton, Kawartha Lakes, Brock, with new content for you every single Tuesday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. On today's show, is it a cottage? Maybe a chalet? We'll talk this and much, much more as we investigate the Arrive scam app and everything that comes with it. To talk about this, much, much more, we have the Brockinator, the prosecutor, Larry Brock, Member of Parliament, Brantford Brant, here to join us. Thanks for coming on the show once again.
Thank you, Jamie. Always a pleasure to be on your show.
Should call this the Brock print again. We keep saying we'll rename it. Maybe one day we'll get to that.
Exactly.
All right. You were in committee, along with Michael Barrett and others, investigating the Arrive scam app. I guess Arrive can, Arrive scam. It looks like a scam. There's money going everywhere. People are tripping over themselves to try to get ahead of this story or maybe put their lean on the story out there. Why don't you tell us, we've got a few clips, so we're going to get into that, but I want you to give kind of a brief overview for our viewers and listeners, and then we'll get into the clip.
I think it's important that we set the stage. So at the heart of this scandal, and this is exactly what it is a scandal, is that we have three consulting companies, one of which, in the clip you'll see, the president of GC Strategies, who has received tens of millions of dollars in hard-earned taxpayer money over the course of the last 5 or 6 years for essentially not producing a product, not producing anything of any substance, but rather simply acting as a middle person to locate professionals to actually do the work on behalf of the government. Take the Arrive Can app. They didn't perform anything, no intelligence, no services. They simply used their network of IT professionals and other entities to locate people who could actually do the work. In exchange for that, they receive commissions of anywhere from 20 to 40% of the contract price. So we know...
Not a bad gig.
Not a bad gig if you can get it. We know that the Arrive Can app cost taxpayers $54 million.
For an app that could have been developed over a weekend for $250,000,
precisely.
Right?
Okay. Precisely.
That's the one.
So it begs the question, how much commission did GC Strategies actually receive? And why are they, Jamie, taking on the role of a bureaucrat within the CBSA? We already know that the Trudeau government has increased the size of our federal bureaucracy by close to 40% during pandemic and post-pandemic. Why aren't these individuals simply opening up their Rolodex and trying to find companies that could actually fulfill the needs of the government? They could have done that and saved the taxpayer tens of millions of dollars. GC Strategies doesn't even have a business. He's essentially working out of his basement.
How many employees?
Two employees.
The whole two employees?
Yes.
They win a $54 million contract.
Correct.
Not doing any work?
No. None. Zero.
That's a heck of a job. Okay.
Quite a scandal.
That is quite the scandal. $54 million. This is the app, of course, when you're leaving Canada, you're coming back, you write down how you're feeling, all that other stuff. Now they have dedicated lines coming in, so people still, I guess for $54 million, they want to keep using it. They can't just throw it in the garbage.
Precisely.
Now.
I know it's voluntary, but it's still there. It's still in the airport.
I see
the signs.
Yeah, with more lines than I think Nexus and the kind of the normal stream.
That's correct.
Yeah, that's
correct.
So
last Thursday
at
committee, we had the president of GC Strategies on the stand.
Seems like a stand-up guy. So in this clip you're about to see, he references Mr. McDonald. So he was the Canadian Border Service Agency.
Correct.
Okay. So maybe without giving too much away about the clip, what was kind of, I guess we should play the clip first. Maybe we should
play the clip and I'll provide some context.
All right. Cue up clip one. This is about a 2-minute long clip. Stick with us. I promise you it will be worth it. 2 minutes of your time. The ending's kind of unbelievable. If you don't throw your hands up in the air like the Brockinator did, I got problems. All right, play cut one.
Mr. Firth, I'm sure that the millions of Canadians who either are watching this or will learn about this in the press or seek out the transcript of this particular meeting will be very, very grateful that the RCMP has access to this particular evidence. What I can understand is why you would take active steps in misleading this particular committee and Canadians with respect to your role as it relates to fraud and forgery with respect to modifying without permission and consent these the resumes to the government. What I can't understand is why you would deliberately lie to this committee on a very innocent question that was put to you by my colleague, Mr. Barrett, when he asked you if you knew whether or not Mr. Cameron McDonald from the CBSA had a cottage. And you said no.
Do you know if Cameron McDonald has a cottage?
I don't know if Cameron McDonald has a cottage.
Do you know if he had one?
I do not know if he had a cottage.
Do you want to reflect on that answer?
Yeah, Mr. McDonald has never referred to it as a cottage. It's a chalet. It's not a cottage.
Thankful for that clarification, Mr. Firth. Are you kidding me?
That is the honest.
Are you saying you knew all along that he had something that was equivalent to a cottage or a cabin?
Cottage, cabin, chalet. What was the... So the cottage, it really plays no real part in all this, but why was it important? Why was it important that you play that clip?
So what you have not shown the audience for, I appreciate it because of the limited amount of time that we have for this podcast, is leading up to that exchange. And I still view that particular exchange as really a non-important element, whether or not Mr. McDonald owned a chalet, a cottage, a cabin, a camp.
Doesn't matter. Yeah.
A secondary residence of some kind. Whether he had that's not material, but what it does show is that there is a pattern of deceit. The questions that preceded that, we spent a great deal of time on the issue of he and he alone modifying certain pertinent details of resumes that were given to him by a company named Bottler. So Bottler's not involved in ArriveCam. They're involved in a completely different government service, but they're intertwined with GC Strategies. So to qualify for funding from the government, Mr. Firth did not inform the two principal partners of Bottler that he was actually taking steps to change their experience level. In some cases, having an experience of 2 to 3 months and then mushrooming that to several years of experience, it was important for him to deliberately commit a fraud on the government, because that is the only way that Bottler would have qualified for the project. And if Bottler qualifies for the project, then GC Strategies collects commission, right? If they didn't qualify, there is no commission. So to make matters worse, he admitted to not only changing and altering and doctoring the pertinent information on this resume once, he did it upwards to 6 times to continue to qualify Bottler in receiving government funding to increase, obviously, his commission. I was gobsmacked as a former prosecutor that he would freely admit to that type of criminal enterprise on more than one occasion. So that was the backdrop. So we've established that he's prepared to lie, he's prepared to cheat, he's prepared to commit criminal acts on the government for the sake of his millions of dollars in commission. So then we dovetail into the cottage issue. Again, it's a really modest little point. Whether he owns it or not is really immaterial, but it displays a pattern of conduct. And it's a pattern of deceit that really bothered me as a parliamentarian.
Of course. So where does it go from here? Like, well, first of all, there's a couple things there. But if for someone like him, if he's trying to hide what he did, I'm assuming, just by watching it. But why would you, lie or potentially mislead about something as small as that, something that could be easily figured out, which puts then a bigger lens on everything else he has said? Why would you do that?
In my view, it has completely tainted his overall credibility. Every response that he has given to all the questions put by all members of the committee is now put under a spotlight. And that's why, no surprise, we hardly completed our examination within 2 hours. We are now summoning him to return to that particular committee for a meeting for upwards to 3 hours, because there are so many little hanging threads based on the evidence that he has provided that requires a little more clarification.
This goes to the larger picture, too, that we've been setting the stage for in terms of revealing piece by piece to Canadians as we discover it, the government's overuse, in our opinion, of consultants,
yes,
outside consultants, despite, as you said earlier, growing the bureaucracy.
Yes.
At one point, I believe 9 out of 10 jobs that were created coming out of the pandemic were all government jobs. So what are people doing? What is this government doing? And, you know, we couldn't get a passport. People needed Service Canada when the pandemic happened. It all closed down, right? There were a whole bunch of failures on behalf of this government, which is supposed to be leading Canadians through their day-to-day lives.
This government is asleep at the wheel. They are not guardians of taxpayer funds. They are doing an abysmal job. Their view is that's money for them to spend as they see fit, again, bolstered by the support that they're receiving from their NDP coalition. They are governing as if they have a majority. They've never respected taxpayer monies. This is just a gross example of that misuse.
Just like to remind people that one of the first things this Prime Minister did, the first piece of legislation that he was contemplating putting before Parliament after March 2020, when the world had shut down because of the pandemic, would have given that Prime Minister complete power to do or spend or borrow or tax anything that they wanted, the government wanted. They would basically bypass Parliament for 2 years, bringing it to 2022,
yes,
long past when the restrictions were being lifted. That's how this government operates.
Mm-hmm. They've been operating that way since 2015. Again, mere words. They projected something that would be responsible to do, to show Canadians they were going to be open and transparent by default. But quite frankly, Jamie, I have lost track of how many instances of misuse of taxpayer money, scandal after scandal, shutting down committee, just all kinds of political gamesmanship that this government is deploying to prevent Canadians from seeing the truth. And even when we have our national policing agency, the RCMP, who is charged with investigating crimes, I know this is an off topic, but it's near and dear to my heart. When the RCMP was investigating Justin Trudeau for his deliberate, constant interference in the independence of our Attorney General and him pressuring her to offer a remediation agreement to a Quebec multinational company, and her refusal cost her job.
That's right.
And then the RCMP wants to investigate, but then again, they hide behind cabinet confidence and refuse to release the information requested numerous times by the RCMP and also requested numerous times by the Ethics Commissioner. This is the style of this government. They are not open. They are not transparent. They have a hidden agenda, and that hidden agenda is fleecing the taxpayer.
And they're feeling it right now. So when the pandemic happened, we printed $400 billion out of thin air. Parliamentary Budget Officer looks over the spending that the government did. Half of what the government spent had nothing to do with COVID, but was couched in the language of COVID. And because we were printing, we were borrowing, we were taxing, all of it combined, leads us to the path we're in now, the situation we're in now, which is an inflation crisis. More and more people are using food banks than ever before in history. including first-time users. And that, I got to tell you, to cross that threshold to use a food bank for the first time, when most people that are using it have jobs, have an income, but they just can't make it with under this prime minister. It's just not worth the cost. So all of this combined leads us to what we're dealing with now, and that is the inflation crisis hurting Canadians because they misspent taxpayer dollars, not just on Rivcan, on a whole bunch of other things. And now taxpayers are feeling the consequences.
And we're talking about billions, billions with a B, of taxpayer misuse.
Yeah, and it's sad because people are crying for help right now, and this government does not have a clue how to fix that problem, because you have to also look at cause and effect. You have to remember how we got here was the cause. This government, bad policy, compounded.
Yep. And for a future show, I'd be happy to share my thoughts and observations of the latest scandal that's rocking this Justin Trudeau government, and that's the Green Slush Fund scandal, which, according to some senior bureaucrats, is the equivalent of the sponsorship scandal 2.0.
That's a good
We all know we how that ended for Jean Chrétien as our prime minister. Be happy to share my thoughts on that on a future episode.
Hopefully the same way it's going to end for Justin Trudeau. All right, we got to run off to question period. Good show, by the way. We had so much more to dive into. Final words, floor is yours.
This country needs more than ever a common sense, economically responsible government led by our future Prime Minister, Pierre Poilievre.
Larry Brock. Well said, Member of Parliament for Brantford-Brant. We appreciate his time. As
you,
always, we appreciate yours. This is probably something you're not hearing in the mainstream media. I know it's tough to flush out, but eyes have to see this program. Ears have to hear this message. You do that by liking, commenting, subscribing, and sharing this program. We'll have new content for you every single Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Until then, remember, low taxes, less government, more freedom. That's the blueprint.